Capital Fools is the successor to Capital Steps, which I know you were a significant part of. Have things changed very much in the time that you had to transition from what was the administration and the politics then to what we're dealing with right now?
Not really. There's always been foolishness in every administration since, gosh, when I first joined the Fools back in, well, this was the Capital Steps back then in 90 or, gosh, what year did I join? 1993. You know, there was always something funny to mock within every administration. As we chug forward here many years down the road, unfortunately, the Steps didn't survive COVID, but some of the intrepid performers refused to let political satire die. So they wanted to keep going along, and they're still on the road, and they're the group that's coming to Jorgensen and hopefully put on a great night of laughter and mocking of our politicians and our system.
Well, political satire has been around for a very long time. I'm old enough to have remembered Mark Russell, the comedians that would be on The Tonight Show and occasionally on the old Ed Sullivan Show. And then, of course, there was always Mad Magazine and Weird Al Yankovic, which took the musical element of what you do and did that a very long time ago. And then, of course, it melded pretty well into what the Capital Steps did and what you guys are doing. So I guess my first question is, when you're making a decision on what song to use and the characters that will be part of it, what goes into that decision?
Boy, that's a tough question, actually. I mean, you know, hopefully something just rings a bell in your brain, whether it be just the person's name or you break out the rhyming dictionary or you have a song idea with, you know, kind of the framework of where you want to go with the song. You know, it can be something as simple as Kamala Harris. One of the first things that comes into your mind is Camelot. So Kamala, Kamala. So you start working backwards from there. There's just a lot of different processes of where the song comes from. Sometimes you just take a great classic like Impossible Dream, something like that, and you just turn it into two congressmen, you know, hoping for better times. And the Impossible Dream is that they will actually work together and do something good for the people of America.
Well, my discussions with Stu Rothenberg over the years, he's a UConn alum, he was bemoaning the fact, this is even many, many years ago, 10, 15 years ago when I first met him, about the lack of presence in Washington back then and even now of people running back home to campaign, and there was less time for people to get to know each other and really understand what they were trying to do, which has brought us to this left and right and blue and red situation, which of
and
course
nothing, and nothing in between.
And as you have said in previous interviews, you thought that the greatest enemy is competent government, and therefore you're going to be around for a long time. The fact that you've got a pretty target-rich environment to play with right now.
Yeah, and you know, we always have. You know, everybody always talks about, you know, like I say, going back years, you know, oh boy, you know, with that character Reagan, you know, coming out as an actor and, you know, becoming the president, boy, you never had it better than that. And then, you know, every administration you have, you know, Bush Sr. comes in and he has his own quirks, but he also brings along Dan Quayle to the party. Then Clinton came in. And then that was the very target-rich environment, obviously. Yeah, it's just a case of where, you know, is this truly our best and brightest? Each time that we're making these jokes about people, it gets kind of funny and it gets kind of sad at the same time.
These days, of course, between social media and just the usual gaffes and brain farts, as for lack of a better word, that go through people's brains when they're in a live television situation or just getting frustrated with things, there's a lot of fodder for you to grab for. What's kind of the line where you want to stay in your lane with so that it's funny, it makes the point, but without getting too extreme because that causes its own problems?
Yeah, I mean, we're not trying to be nasty, and we're not trying to make a bold political statement to make it obvious, boy, I really like this guy or I really like her. We're just trying to be equal opportunity offenders like we always have. When it comes to, you know, what we use, I mean, like you say, with social media these days, if it's a major gaffe or something of that nature, you know, it starts spreading around like wildfire. We used to say that if the late night comedians started talking about something, a subject or something one of the candidates did, then it pretty much is out there in the mainstream. In Washington, D.C., it's a little more insular and you think something might be hilarious and then you go out on the road in Peoria and nobody's ever heard of it. We try to keep our ear to the ground and really kind of use broad strokes as far as what we hope most of the audience will know, that they don't have to be a political junkie. to come and enjoy our show, as long as they know the major characters, they're going to have a great time.
I lived down in the Alexandria, Virginia area for a number of years, and you go into D.C. or you're even in the suburbs of Maryland and Northern Virginia, and everybody there is involved in the government. Do you find that when you may do the show locally that it's better laughs or maybe just a couple of snickers because people realize that they're in the middle of all of this?
No, I think it's about the same everywhere. I mean, I think the people, one, that come to our show, know they kind of know what to expect, and they know that we're going to be kind of making fun of everybody. And like I say, if you're offended that we're picking on your person, just hold on for a minute or two, because the next song will be about the other person. Obviously, there is a little more knowledge in the D.C. area. We were lucky enough at the Capitol Steps. You know, we played at the Reagan Building for years, you know, every weekend. You know, not just tourist crowd, but local crowds came along and always enjoyed the show. But like I say, we try to make it palatable for everybody. We want folks in stores and folks in Peoria and folks in Sacramento to enjoy the show just like a bunch of nerds in D.C. would, who half the crowd works for somebody on the Hill.
In July, when President Biden made the determination that he was going to step back from the campaign, essentially handing Vice President Harris baton to go forward, how much of what you had been doing up to that point had to be rethought and your pivot? Because although you're probably pretty flexible and be able to bring new stuff in as you see fit, you're doing a production that you've been on the road for probably 6 months at that point.
Well, I hate to sound like I'm some kind of, you know, prescient genius or anything, but obviously watching the debate, I had started sending Jack Rolls, who's the head of the group, messages saying, you know, I don't think he's going to make it to the election day. He's not going to be on the ticket. So the wheels were already turning that let's have some backup plans. We didn't necessarily know that it would just be handed over to Kamala. I kind of thought maybe there'd be some process, but there wasn't. But, you know, she was already in the show for several numbers. Obviously, Joe Biden was in there for several numbers. Kind of the jokes about, will you still vote for me when I'm 84? Obviously, some of the age jokes. But we were kind of prepared. It seemed like the writing was on the wall a little bit after that debate.
How did you rethink it just a little bit? I mean, you know, taking the Beatles out and having to replace When I'm 64 with maybe something else. Is it another Beatles song, or do you find something completely different?
Just find something completely different. One of the songs was Trump now singing Ain't No Biden, Now He's Gone, or Ain't No Sunshine, Now It's Gone. Because he just felt like, oh boy, I'm going to win because Biden looks so terrible. And suddenly he had the rug kind of pulled out from under him. We have Biden singing the old Muppet song, we call it the brain mouth connection. So, you know, why are there so many jokes about Biden and how he's kind of a nincompoop? And he's just kind of lamenting how things didn't go better. And then, of course, then Kamala comes out and we've got her singing, you know, Joe coming along and singing. And it was announced that I was quitting. The White House was in doubt. But then voila, it seems that voters suddenly are smitten with Kamala. Da, 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 da. And so, you know, stuff just kind of falls into place. We always have some tunes we try to use a lot because they're just such great standards. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you stumble onto something completely new. That's kind of what the fun and the challenge of the job is.
As you've been moving around the last couple of months, are there things that you've been thinking about maybe adding as they may see fit, or as we're coming closer to the election, do you just want to put it on the back burner and see what happens after the election?
Yeah, I mean, for this, you know, for the last 30 days, short of really an earth-shattering kind of story, the show is kind of what it is. It's got all the major players, you know. You've got Joe Biden, you've got Kamala, you've got Tim Walz, you've got J.D. Vance, you've got Trump. Mitch McConnell might show up, Zelensky might show up, Marjorie Taylor Greene might show up, AOC might show up. It's our typical fast-paced, you know, as soon as one song is ending, somebody else is walking on ready to do the next number, so we try to keep the pace up and the laughs up and hope everybody enjoys it. But yeah, at this point, short of an earthquake kind of issue, the show is what it is, probably till Election Day.
And then after Election Day, based on the results, would you pivot either way or just hold station until we see what happens the election maybe being challenged?
If the election's challenged, you know, that just puts us in a holding pattern. A couple numbers you might just do kind of past tense, but you've got to sit down and start doing several new things for whoever the winner is. There's already some ideas cooking that you kind of start laying out and saying, you know, and then you write something, of course, that'll be hilarious and you'll never get to use it, which is always the downside.
What was the influence that you had that sort of got you in the mindset that you could do this sort of thing? Because my understanding is that the original Capitol steps, and perhaps maybe this same many of the same folks have continued, actually worked on the Hill and kind of, you know the inside workings of how things go. And it's maybe a little bit easier to look at the topics and make them appear funny because they can be absurd when you're in the middle of it.
Well, I don't know if the Capitol Hill, you know, work really helped any in the kind of the songwriting. I think of it a little bit as a parlor trick. I mean, people seem to think it's kind of easy, and then you know, we'll have the cast, we'll try to write something, and just, you know, sometimes it's just proves more difficult than it is. Now, Elena Newport and Bill Strauss, who started the group, were very skilled at writing tunes. I guess I just have kind of a knack for it. And then working with Elena for all those years, it just kind of gets honed. It does ruin you from listening to songs normally, because you're constantly trying to see if there's a hook or something you can maybe use in the future. We were talking about a Beatles song earlier. We had one of our cast members who absolutely detested every time we would use a Beatles song because he said it ruined it for the rest of his life. He could never hear it on the radio and think of the real words. He always had to stick in our words. So that's kind of one of the downsides. I don't know. It's just a weird skill that some of us got, and it kind of comes easy to us.
So it's not like the Dick Van Dyke Show and Rob Pitrie and everybody trying to write for Alan Brady, who, of course, was Carl Reiner, one of the great geniuses of television humor. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would have been wonderful if we had a table of 10 people sitting around just banging ideas off each other and cranking out a song kind of every day or something like that. But the reality is that most of the time, Elena would have an idea and maybe write, you know, 75% of it and say, oh, I'm kind of stuck on an ending, or I need a joke here. And I would look at it and pop something in and she'd go, perfect, we're done. Or I would do the same thing. It'd be like, oh, I've got this idea. I've got a really good chorus, but I don't know where to go. She'd sit down and sometimes with fresh eyes, you know, you look at something and it's like, oh, that's pretty funny. And in 20 minutes, boom, you got a song that really works.
Well, that's how musicians collaborate. I talk to enough musicians to know that they test each other, they challenge each other, and every once in a while you get a song like Yesterday out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And we've found that, you know, the faster a song was written, the better it usually was. If you sat down and just had to grind over, oh, how can we make this funny, or what's the right tune? But if something just popped in your head and you just started putting words down the paper and boom, here's a song that, you know, we did in an hour, and it normally really worked well.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing from you, but you have to remember that you're not that far from where Mark Twain's house is in Hartford. And he had some thoughts about politics as well, as I think you know.
He did indeed. And you know, it's funny, I live in Bozeman, Montana now, and there is a Mark Twain statue down on our main street. And I really don't have any idea why, other than, you know, it's Mark Twain, but there was no other connection. It's just Mark Twain sitting on a park bench on Main Street.